This is CBS Chronological Bible Studies, Episode 2, Judgment and Grace. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to ChronologicalBibleStudies.com, the audio version. This is Rodney Harrier, the author and administrator of the site. Thank you for joining me. Today is day 2 in our chronological Bible study. And if you have the time, stick around. We'll have a special feature. Today's title of the lesson is Judgment and Grace. Today's Bible reading is Genesis 4, 1 through 6, 8, and 1 Chronicles 1, verses 1 through 4. Parents want their adult children to live responsible or even godly lives. However, sometimes they cause them grief. They commit crimes, use drugs, or become alcoholics. Or they do foolish things, get into financial trouble, mistreat their family members, and end up divorced if remarried. This can happen even after parents faithfully and lovingly support their children in all their activities. They may take their children to church, and their children may even make professions of faith and be baptized. If parents have done these things, how is it their children sometimes turn away from God? How can they be turned back to Him? In today's Bible study, we'll see God's judgment and grace. We don't like that word judgment, do we? But it's our sin that causes God to judge. Because He is righteous, the Lord must punish sin. In today's Bible reading, Adam and Eve have been cast out of the garden, each having received a curse for their sins. Now as they begin to have children, their sinful natures are genetically passed on to them. Thus we have the first reason people turn away from God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned, Romans 5:12b. Each person inherits a sinful nature. Nevertheless, every man and woman is responsible for their own sins, Ezekiel 18:20. God judges Cain for murder. Sin causes jealousy and strife. There is a sibling rivalry between Cain and Abel, the two adult boys of Adam and Eve. When the young men bring offerings to the Lord, Cain is angry because God accepts Abel's offering but not his. Why does God favor Abel's offering over Cain's? The answer is that Cain's offering is a grain offering. It is a contribution from his crops. The text does not say his grain offering was the first fruit of his harvest. In contrast, Abel's offering is a sacrifice, the sacrifice of one of his firstborn sheep. It is a better gift born from a righteous heart, Hebrews 11:4. His gift pictures what Jesus would later do for us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world by offering himself as a sacrifice for all our wrongs, John 1:29, 1 Peter 3:18. God favors Abel's sacrifice, and this makes Cain jealous. The Lord tells Cain, sin is crouching like a lion ready to devour at the door. You must master it. Genesis 4:7. How can Cain master it? In the same way that we can master it, through faith in God and obedience to Him. Cain fails, and it leads him to murder his brother. In God's mercy, He does not kill Cain. However, he is cursed and banished from the fertile land of Eden. Nevertheless, God graciously protects him. God's gracious choice. In Genesis 5, there is a genealogical record of Adam's descendants. The reader might first notice that there is a chosen line of descendants from Adam. Adam's firstborn son is Cain, but neither he nor Abel are mentioned in this genealogy. Seth is the first of the chosen line, and after that, individuals from his family tree are also part of it. Why is this? The answer is that God is selecting a family line which He is choosing to favor. This line will lead to the formation of the nation of Israel through Abraham's seed and later to Jesus Christ, Matthew 1, 1-16. We who have called upon the Lord for our salvation also have a family relationship with Him. Although most of us are not Jewish, we are His adopted children through His Son, Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1, 3-4. This is amazing grace. Because of God's judgment and grace, we lead others to God for salvation. Seth, Enoch, and Noah are bright lights in the genealogy of Adam and Eve. When Enosh, Seth's son, was born, Men began to call upon the name of the Lord, Genesis 4:26. Did this happen by chance? Probably not. It seems that after Enosh was born, Seth took his fatherly role seriously. He led his children to seek the Lord, when for a time his own generation did not. If Seth did this for his family, should we not do the same? Do we set the example of worship and devotion by daily spending personal time with God? This one-year daily chronological Bible study is an excellent way to do that, and it helps you stay on track. Do we lead our families to seek the Lord by spending time with them in Bible study and prayer? Do we go to church with them? Do we serve the Lord together? If we do, our children will learn to call upon the name of the Lord and seek Him. A casual reading of Genesis 5 also shows us that sin's consequences bring death. Although they lived for a very long time, death comes to Adam and Eve and all their descendants. The Apostle Paul will later write, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord," Romans 6:23. Have we accepted God's gift of eternal life? If so, here is another application. Christians, it is good to live for God, for we only have a short life on this earth to please Him, James 4:14. God judges the world, but one family receives His grace. What kind of a world would we have if evil people were allowed to live not just 70 to 80 years, but 800 to 900? We already know what could happen when we read the account of Noah. In Noah's day, man's wickedness was so great that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time, Genesis 6:5. This grieved God. Because of this, He would wipe all people, land, creatures, and fowl off the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is judgment, but in God's judgment, He is often gracious. Here's some takeaway lessons. Everyone is born a sinner and must pay the consequences for his choices. A personal relationship with God through Jesus and obedience are the keys to mastering our sins. God preserves the faithful line of those who carefully instruct their children to love and obey the Lord. It is good to live for God, for we only have a short life on this earth to please Him. God judges sin, but He is often merciful and gracious, especially to those who have a changed heart and live differently than their evil culture. To win our loved ones back if they have strayed, we should pray earnestly and fervently for their souls, James 5, 16-20. Our focus verse for today is Psalm 143:1. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Now we are going to have a prayer time related to today's Bible study, so join me, would you please? Dear Father in heaven, great and righteous is your name, your character, your very being. You must judge sin, not because you are mean or unfair, but because you are holy and good. You long to bless us and save our souls from eternal destruction. Dear Lord, I pray we would remember your judgment and grace, and because we love our families, friends, and acquaintance, share the gospel with them. Dear Lord, I pray we would remember your judgment and grace, and because we love our family, friends, and acquaintances, share the gospel with them. I pray we would be a good witness of what God has done for us, and the love of Christ would constrain us to witness. Please give us a daily portion of courage. Please forgive our sins and lead us from temptations that would ruin our testimony. May our lives be lived to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now looking ahead, will God put up with evil forever? When is there a need for God to remove evil and renew the world? Find out in our next lesson. Now, if you have time, we have a special piece I wanted to share with you. If you read today's Bible reading, you saw that people lived a very long time, 800 to 900 years in many cases. So the question is one of longevity. How did people live so long in the early ages of the earth? Different theories have been given regarding the answer to this question. Here are some things to think about. The pre- and post-flood conditions. There was a limited gene pool. These creation scientists suggest that longevity in the days from Adam to Noah could mean that the longevity was present before Noah. However, due to a possible limited gene pool in the descendants, that gene may not have passed on to succeeding generations. Indeed, the oldest human being after the flood was Eber, who lived 464 years, Genesis 11:16-17. After that, the longevity of all people significantly decreased. Theory number two, it's a different environment. The Earth's pre-flood condition was not one of polar ice caps, but a worldwide garden greenhouse. This provided an abundant amount of oxygen over the entire planet. An environmental protection vapor may have shielded people from the sun's harmful aging rays and provided natural moisture for the plants. Genesis 1, 29 through 30, and Genesis 7, 11 through 12. This was not present after the flood. After the Great Flood and its reduced oxygen, the new environment may have reduced the length of life and the size of reptiles like dinosaurs. But that is another subject. For a more detailed scientific explanation of longevity, look up the Answers in Genesis site. There is a spiritual answer to this. Maybe it was God's plan. Moses, the probable author of Genesis, Luke 24:27 and Psalm 90 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you were brought forth, the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, Return, O dust, O sons of men. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass away, and we fly away. Psalm 90, verses 1 through 3, and verse 10. The point of Moses' psalm is that all of us will die one day. The typical age for passing in his day was 70 to 80 years, apparently, as it is now. Seeing the brevity of life, Moses prayed to God, Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90:12. It is common for young people and adults to think only about living for today's pleasures. We waste our lives doing unimportant things. Most of us want to live for a long time. However, it is not how long we live, but how we live that is important. We need to use our opportunities for the Lord while we have them and teach that to our young people. As an anonymous person once wrote, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Thank you for joining us. Come back tomorrow for another Bible study. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcasts so you can download and listen to them as soon as they're available.